Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, there is a system that the Lord has dismantled, and it's not going to come back. Amen? And it's a system that has had complete sway over this country. It is dismantled, it's not going to come back. Now, some of the people who have been the purveyors of that system, in trying to prolong it, have indulged in a lot of child sacrifice and so many other things that we've known about and that we try to handle in prayer. But now, because they are so used to killing, kill the other one, so they think they can also kill me, okay? And they have been planning. But I'm saying this for the benefit of some of you who talk to them. Tell them Kableta is unkillable, okay? I have had more than 20 attempts on my life all along, and God has prepared me for this moment. And no clown is going to make God go back to the drawing board. Who do you think you are? So you think God is going to go back to the drawing board after 20-something years of work in somebody and patience and what? So he's going to go back to the drawing board and said, because some stupid person thinks he can prolong a system which God has brought to one end, that now we choose another person. There's not going to be any other person. Because I'm still in town. Amen? I'm saying this because the Lord shows us when there are these plans, and there have been so many of them, and I've seen so many of them, and some of them I've shared with some people, and we've prayed about them and canceled them in so many ways. Okay? About 2 weeks ago, I had a strong sense that there was an arrest being planned on me. But it wasn't the usual arrest of you go and come back. This one was really planning to do harm to me. Okay? But you see, people have the illusion of being in control, but they are not. Praise the Lord. God is going to show that he is supreme. The time of people ignoring God ended. Okay? That system cannot be prolonged no matter what. It can never be prolonged. By the way, now, this time, they say they are planning to have as if there is a robbery at my home. And the robbery, and this has been seen. You see, we are not speculating, okay? There is a robbery at my home, and somehow I stand in the way of the robbers, and they shoot me dead. Who? Kableta. It is not going to happen. Amen? But now I'll tell you this. You go and tell that guy who is trying to do it, that if he keeps on trying, he's going to die very soon. He is going to be the one to take that fate. And I've not yet, like, stated it on him. But if he tries too hard, because he has tried this, tried that, tried the other. From way back, there is a time when I was here in partnership meeting and I was telling people things which I was saying. They first tried spiritually, proclaiming powerful words by witches on me. That's a waste of time. I would be more inconvenienced by rain falling on me than those words of witches. Not even rain, a drizzle. Then they failed there. Now they have gone physical. Because in the spirit, they know they are defeated. Now they have gone to the natural. Now apparently robbers are going to come and try to rob me and then eventually. And I even see they have planned what the media is going to. The whole media strategy has already been put out of how it happened and so on. And they have put it all out. So now here is the thing. If you hear somebody has died very soon from now, you know he's the one. But he might survive if he just decides to have some sense for once. But I suspect that's not going to happen. So look around in the newspapers for somebody who is going to what? Let me tell you something. And you know this story. In 2001, a few friends of mine and I had decided we are going to go on a journey to Jinja. And on that day, I slept late. We had agreed we meet at our workplace at a certain time. On that day, I slept late. I woke up. I told my colleague, please, whatever you do, wait for me. He said, I'm not going to wait for you. I said, what's wrong with you? I'm just a few minutes away from there. To cut a long story short, he left. I was less than 5 minutes away from where he was. And he left. There were four people. They got an accident and all died. I was supposed to be one of them. And everybody, even the news knew I was one of them because they knew I would move together. So I remember hearing on CBS, and I was hearing it. Now, later on, after that time, a few things happened in my life and I went to seek the Lord and what. And then one day he showed me a scripture in one of, when I was just thinking about, now look at, these were all young people and they just die like that. Three of them had families and I'm there thinking. And then he showed me a scripture in Isaiah 43. He says, I gave many as a ransom for you because you were precious in my eyes. He says, I protected you. I cried. I've never cried like that because I knew God had protected me. And he said, I've given many as a ransom for you because you're precious in my eyes. And the scripture says a few other things. And I didn't even know it was there. I just opened the book and there it was. So I cried and I said, God, thank you for doing this. I said, now from this day onwards, I'm going to live for you because I'm supposed to be dead. For I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom. Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored that I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Now imagine you've just survived death and you read that scripture and you know that's what the Lord is telling you. Praise the Lord. So at the time, I didn't know why. Now I know why. Amen? So any clown who thinks that, by the way, let me tell you, because God has left things happen, and they happen, and they happen, and men have an illusion of being in control. But they are not. Amen? They are not. There are places where they will touch, and they will be burnt by fire. Glory to God. This happened in 2001, 22 years ago. 22 years ago. Think about that, 22 years ago. So now you think, after God has tuned his investment all these years, that you're going to come and just say that now you should die. Who die how? Me? Are you kidding me? I'm saying this, of course, because I know this is going to eventually get to it. I'm warning that he's going to die very soon. Soon. If he becomes too much of a problem. He's supposed to suffer silently and vanish. And get lost. Praise the Lord. Okay. Kastancho get the mood. Now, there are some people who would be here saying, aren't you scared for your life? Let me tell you who's scared for their lives. You know who. Amen? By the way, let me tell you, even if they were to succeed, that system they are trying to prolong can never come back. It has been wiped out. Even if they were to succeed to get rid of B. There is something they are trying to prolong which is never going to come back. Because God chose Uganda as a nation from which he's going to start something special in the world. Amen? And do not think that Uganda is not like worthy. And I've gone through that of thinking Uganda is not worthy. I mean, look at us, look at everything. Let me tell you, there is no person who has been chosen to do something special for God who was worthy. Paul even says, look at you, you brethren. None of you were of noble stature or what. You were all like that. But God chose you. And Jesus Christ says, another scripture where he says, and he rejoiced in the spirit. And he said, blessed are you, Father, creator of heaven and earth, because you've hid these things from wise people and revealed them to babes. Even so, it seemed good in your sight. Now, the idea of God always using the lowly, that has always been the case. And now in this case, the Lord is Uganda. And now, the glory, and some people have seen it, the glory that the Lord has for this country. Some people have seen it, some of our people here who, you know, especially in our prayer team. And we have a very powerful prayer team. Not so many people, but we are shaking things. And the next thing I want us to cancel is this planned contraceptive for 14-year-old girls because it is just birth control. So they will give girls pills, and when the girls reach to the age of getting, children, they cannot conceive. And it's all part of... But God has given us victory. Amen? Some of the victory we've seen in the spirit, others we've witnessed here in actual reality. Praise the Lord. Only the enemy had kind of attacked our thing, because at the end of last year, at the time when I was in prison, about this time last year, it was very, very, very powerful. I could smell it from that warehouse that people were seriously in prayer. And things were being turned. Things were being overturned, and so many things were happening. And now we are reviving it back to where it was. Praise the Lord. And we are canceling things which we don't like in the country. And we have the power to do so. And nobody can take that power away from us apart from the one who gave it to us, who is the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, what we don't want, government policies we don't want, we cancel. They were planning to bring millions of refugees from a certain country up north, and we canceled. And they are not coming. At the end of last year, at the peak of our powers, there was a vaccine factory, which was inaugurated by the president, but was de-inaugurated by the real president. Now it flopped. It flopped thoroughly. Even I could not think it would flop that thoroughly. But it flopped very badly that it's now there a desolate. It's almost like Babylon the Fallen. Now there are going to be other Babylons the Fallen, because the reality is God has chosen Uganda. Amen? And I want you people to think at that level. Because I've been telling people, and there's so many of us who actually have a real, real inner mindset of you think about just yourself, your needs, and so on. And the Lord is calling you to think bigger than that. And there are bigger things for you to think about. And in actually taking on the bigger things, all your problems become so small, so, so small. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, and this is the call. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Of course, not meaning babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed, okay, even some babes. And when you say babes, people think of slay queens. It says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Now, this is so important, that the things which God thought were so valuable, he hid them away from people who thought were so knowledgeable and gave them to people who were of no knowledge whatsoever, and then gave them the ability to turn the whole system upside down. And now there is a system that is being turned upside down by us, praise the Lord, because there was a system that had been set in by the Romans, of the Pharisees being in control and so on. But by the 16th, 17th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, they were saying these men have turned the whole world upside down. Actually, they were not even talking about Israel, where the Pharisees had control. They were talking about the whole world, because they had gone to Asia, they were in Europe, in Macedonia, Philippi, and all that. So they are saying these men who have turned the whole world upside down. And these were the people whom he calls babes, to whom it was revealed, praise the Lord. Now, when the people of the world see Uganda, somebody was telling me the other day that they are discovering very, very precious minerals almost every day, almost on a daily basis. Then I said, now it is time for the children of God to be in control. Because God does not give precious things to fools. Praise the Lord. He does not give precious things to fools. They will see them, but they will not touch of them. Remember Elisha's thing. The other man, he said, you will see of it, but you will not eat it. So they are going to stop at hearing their minerals in Busoga, in northern Uganda, and what, and what. They will see them, but they will not taste of them. God has prepared them for us. Amen? Now, that's the reality. And no amount of plotting to kill me is going to change it. And God does that, even samples you, that this one these minerals, they are going to start mining them in 2027. Then you start thinking, will I be there? I can help you give you the answer. Then, I haven't said anything. Then they discover others here. And God has set them for a certain group of people. And those group of people think they are nothing, but in the eyes of God, they are so precious. Praise the Lord. The way I felt, I was just somebody there, and God says that I gave Egypt as a ransom for you because you were precious in my sight. And I read that, I said, man. So all along, okay, it is so humbling because of the way it is. Anyhow, so there are great things. And I'm saying this because I know starting next year, there are going to be very powerful things happening here. Praise the Lord. And I want everybody to partake of it. Don't be part of those people who see and don't what? Partake. You see and partake and enjoy and grow fat. Praise the Lord. Hey, because those things have been prepared for us. Praise the Lord. And we even know how we are going to handle it step by step. Now, there are people who are so excited. And do you know how, I want you to imagine how some of those people think when you've been here all these decades and all you had was mwanyi. And now finally, I was going to say like Moses, but that I can't use that comparison. But you know the way God told Moses, go up the hill. Do you see the promised land? Hey, have you seen properly? Turn and see properly. Do you need a binoculars? Then he says, now you're going to die here. Without entering it. Of course, that was for a reason, and I can't compare these people. That's such a great man. But my point is, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now, like, lift yourselves up and look like people who God has big plans for. Eh? Don't, because you see, there are people who you look at them, and even when they talk to you, they don't look like people who God has big plans for. Praise the Lord. Now, it's been some years since I started actually getting myself excited about the plans of God. Before, as yet, I had seen anything. Nothing. But somehow, I had a witness of some great things that God had in store for me. Praise the Lord. Now, then I knew that there was one thing that was required for me to do at the time, and that was to align my purposes with the purposes of the kingdom that he is calling me into. Okay, he had already called me into, that I was a part of. But to align my purposes to that kingdom, and I know that everything that comes through me has a purpose. And if I pursue that purpose, there will be enough left for me, so much more than I can ever manage, left for me as I'm pursuing the purpose of God. You understand? Now, when actually you understand that you belong to a kingdom, and God wants that kingdom to supplant the kingdom that currently is, that is so strong, that is so in your faces, that they come and do all these things and appear to have strength and they appear to be untouchable, but God is going to use you to supplant that kingdom in a matter of not too many years. Like you start 2024, in a few years somehow, the people whom you are listening to are now bowing down to you. And he has done that before. And he's going to do it now, praise the Lord. And somehow you see yourself getting on top, and being the decision maker, being the one whom they consider to be wise, being the one who is at the top in all things. Amen? Because God has a purpose for you. Glory to God. You know, I was talking to some people, and they were telling me, you know, went someplace and where there were political people. Some of them are very angry at me because they think I don't have a right to want to be president before I've ever been MP, before I've ever been, you know those things. LC5, LC3. You want me to start from LC1? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I told them, I am used to people being hostile over me because apparently I seem to be moving faster than they want. I remember I joined the media. I worked for some kind of newspaper which folded, which means collapsed. So I was jobless. So I went to the biggest newspaper in the land. And in a short time, I was an editor, I was a columnist. They don't give you a column unless they really trust you, because in a column you can write whatever you want. So you have a whole page to yourself in the newspaper. Nobody even edits it. What you write goes straight into the streets. So they don't give you columnist unless they really trust you. But in a short time I was that. And the people who I found there were very angry. Very angry. But the hand of God was what? It was on me. Then when I got bored with that, I left. Then I went into Busumba. Do you know how many pastors were angry? There was one who was on TV saying, "Kati go wa vawa, dayo mizanyo jamu." But then I said that what I have achieved in these few years, you have not achieved in 25 years. And I didn't tell it to him straight. I didn't tell it to him actually at all. I'm a bit more modest than that. Sometimes. But the honest truth is I knew exactly why he was angry. I absolutely knew why he was angry. And I can't say that if I was in his place, I wouldn't be. But remember when I told you about the anointing that distinguishes? You don't go to a place and you be an ordinary person. You can't. You are supposed to be distinguished. Amen? Like Daniel in chapter 6. Go to Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. You're supposed to be distinguished. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. Not this Darius, the one in the Bible. Okay, verse 2. And over these three governors of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Okay, next verse. Then this Daniel distinguished himself. You could say God distinguished him. So there are people who are meant to be distinguished. Amen? And they cannot, and I told you that when God has that hand on you, you cannot hide. You are not hideable. Because even when you do simple things, somehow they are distinguished. I gave you an example of the first owner of 2017, where so many people went and did something, you remember, but somehow the camera was waiting for me. Then I don't even know. I did not see the camera. I did not see anything. I just did what was coming to my spirit. The next thing, I woke up in the morning, and I'm all over social media, all over what? And then I said, "What's happening?" That Okombo THGereja, what? Like, I was, but am I the only one who did it? There was actually about 2,000 people there. Some did not, but others did. But somehow, the camera was there waiting. So, then they were calling me. Then, who is on the phone? Radio Simba. Who is on the phone? NTV. Who is on the phone? NBS. Who is on what? So I said, okay, so it is. So I basked in the glory of what? Being the representative. Of those who were honoring. Oh my God. There were people who were angry with me. I met some guy and he told me, "Negwe, before you do things like that, do you consider what we people who have followed you all these years?" And I was like, "You go and find a life." So now, what am I supposed to do? And so many other people. Praise the Lord. But you wait. You wait. You will see what will come out of that. Or you know. But this man distinguished himself. Now, so you enter a place and you're not supposed to be ordinary. God has not put you there as ordinary. And you should not accept to be ordinary. Because if you do, you actually pull yourself down from a throne which God has prepared for you. And you go and he has prepared for you a throne. So, yeah, I went through the period of... And people get angry over small things. And like they get really angry. One lady, that workplace where I was, I enter into the tea room and she says, "Hey, Kableta, how are you?" Then I say, "I'm popular." Then she says, "Who do you think you are?" What? Then she assures me like for 30 minutes. And I say, can't you take a joke? But and it was purely a joke. So I had to apologize. because she actually was very, very offended. And I don't know why, but she was offended anyhow. But that's what happens when you are, you know what the scripture says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Like, you cannot be hidden. You're on a hill. But that means you're also seen by your enemies as much as by your friends. Eh? So now people are trying to shoot you down. Others are trying to come to you because you look good. But somehow you're on a hill and nobody is going to hide you. You are set there. And now that's how it is. And that's how you are, praise the Lord. And now that's how you should think in your head. Now, at the time, things used to happen to me by mistake. Okay? Some favor here puts you up here and there. But now there is nowhere I go, and I do not expect to be set on the hill. And I do not expect to be distinguished. Because now I've seen the workings of it, and now I expect it. Praise the Lord. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And that is you. You cannot be hidden in whatever it is, in whatever business. So then you find that the anointing that distinguishes you, unless you really, really want to be like everybody else, it will never allow you to be like anybody else. Because you enter a place and somehow, and now when you see enemies, you think that's a bad thing. That actually shows that your city is set on what? On a hill. Because with the enemies will come, you know, success. And people, so you walk and people get scared just because you've come anyhow. So you cannot be hidden, praise the Lord. Unless you try so hard like the children of Israel. You know, the children of Israel had a unique scenario, and I've told you this before, where they are attacked by their enemies, and they don't have their leader is a prophet, Samuel. So the prophet gets a lamb and puts it alive in the fire and sacrifices it. And their enemies are defeated by an Amalek Israel, just by sacrifice. Now, Israel could have gone one of two ways. They could have said, now, that means our enemies cannot stand before us because we are different. But they decided they don't want to be different. So they went to the prophet and told him, get us a king so that we shall be like all other kingdoms. Now, that is a very, very bad thing. And some people have wanted that before. You have a special gift. You're specially talented in one place, but somehow you're kind of uncomfortable with your gift putting you, you know, ahead of everybody. So you go and say, I want to be like all other kings. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 8, I think. Somewhere around chapter 8. Then they go and tell Samuel that, get us a king. We want to be like all other kingdoms. And God says they have rejected me because what he wanted was for them to be unlike any other kingdom. And he had stated that before. I don't want you to be like any of the other kingdoms. But then you come and say, we want to be like all the other kingdoms. And then God gives it to you. But then, before that time, they never had to fight at all. At no one time did they have to fight. But now, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us. Go ahead. That we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Of course, kings don't fight battles, but you know what they mean. Now, then eventually God said, you have it. You don't want to be unique? Now, praise the Lord. When I go, or when you go anywhere and find that there is a way they do things, have the sense to know, in my uniqueness, how am I supposed to conquer these guys? You see? And you come and present yourself in a unique way. And they tell you that if you come here, you have to do this, you have to do that. This is how people have done it. People did it before you. They go on the streets and say, yeah. You know, eh? Then you say, me, I put on ties and suits and what? Then we're going to go to the street. But I'm a distinguished what? I'm a distinguished nation. So I'm going to do things my way. Not the way other people have done them. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I don't know how many people have the strength to actually stand and do something unique when there are all the forces trying to point you in a certain direction. And you refuse to be pointed in that direction. You just stand unique. And then people are drawn to uniqueness. You know that. Like, your uniqueness stands out and people are drawn to you. But anyway, I want to tell you something. And this is, I've mentioned it here before, but I want you to know very well that you belong to a special kingdom. Amen? And God wants to use you to supplant the other kingdom. In music, let's say. Okay? All the popular music sung should be from you. Can you believe that? Because all those people who go there and who are, you know, top musicians, even the small ones and all of them, they are all like, they are, okay, not all. A majority of them are servants of the devil. They sacrifice people and all that. Eh? Now, the time for that is over. Amen? Eh, the time for that is over. You just have to know what is God's purpose, plan here for me in this area. Let's say in music, I'm giving an example. And then you know that I'm going to use my unique methods. And the anointing that I have is actually going to go and remove those people slowly, because they actually have to come to a place where they come to the Lord. Amen? I'll tell you that a time is going to come very soon when witch doctors are not the busiest people during elections. Eh? When prophets and men of God are what? Because you go and sacrifice and you end up on the bottom and we step on your face. And then you realize that you were deceived. And now that has to happen. You understand? Eh? It has to happen that people should know that the Lord is God everywhere. So in whatever field you are, it is your responsibility to go and demonstrate to people that Jesus is Lord. So you come, they have their lords, they have their systems, they have what? They have people whom they know if you want to what. Then you hear somebody got burnt at a musician's home and what, and you know it's child sacrifice. And then you know that you come with the greatest sacrifice there is, the blood of the Son of God. There is no sacrifice that can come close to that, you understand? So you also have your own blood sacrifice, the blood of who? Jesus. Now, you come fully clothed in the awareness of who you represent and what you represent, the kingdom of God, and see what blood can equal yours. They go and get blood of street kids and what? You say, I come with the blood of Jesus, which was shed for me and for this kingdom. And you present yourself in whatever field. Praise the Lord. Now, you know the scripture says, do not give up your confidence. You see, you have to have a level of confidence. If you do not have confidence, you'll go there and be timid. And people will just take advantage of your timidity. You have to go and be confident. And say, I am unkillable. Okay? Do whatever you're doing, I am still in town. Until the Lord God comes and raptures Jesus. Okay. Okay, until he says it. But anyway, he says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. You see? Now, when you're entering and you know what you stand for, your confidence is what actually makes people look at you and tremble. Because you have no right whatsoever to believe the things you're believing. You're recording your first, let's say, album, but in your mind, you're bigger than all these clowns. Okay? And then you come and project yourself on them, and then they start saying, hey, who do you think you are? That's how they start. Then eventually they know who you are. Eh? But you see, it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. And do not forget that you are representing a kingdom whose time is now. Praise the Lord. Whose time is when? Now. Now the rats have played around the house for long enough. Now it is time for the owner of the house to come and take control. Amen? Like we've let those rats play because the house was empty. But it can no longer go any further than now. And it has changed. And no amount of plots by them can change anything. They can't. The only thing they will change is their, you know, rate of what? And you want to kill me. Now you don't know that I have the right to proclaim you dead. If you do not try to kill me, it is okay. I do not have that right. But if you try to kill me, you know, even in the law, if you kill somebody in self-defense, you've not broken any law. Is that it? If you can prove that the person came for you and wanted to kill you, and you kill them first, they will just bury them and you continue drinking cappuccino. That's even in our natural laws. Praise the Lord. Anyway, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I want it in the Amplified. It says, for we believers will be called to account and must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. That is, each will be held responsible for his actions, for his purposes, for his goals, for his motives, the use or the misuse of his time, of his opportunities, and his abilities. Nkadem? Okay, let me read it again. Because, you know, this is like so deep in reality. For we believers will all be called to account and must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body. That is, whether good or bad. Before even we go to good or bad, you can do good. Okay, so you pass the test of good or bad. Then he says, that is, each will be held responsible for his actions. First of all, actions, then purposes. Because there are so many good actions which are done with purposes that do not align with God. Okay? Do not align with the kingdom of God. Because you have your own purposes, the kingdom of God is trying to push you in a certain direction where you are fitting into a puzzle, a grand puzzle, and there is a place for you there which builds the whole picture. And God wants you in a specific place. But for you, somehow, you want something else for yourself because you've calculated maybe you are better off in another place. So what you're doing there is pote. And when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for which, by the way, it's about time that we start thinking about it. Because, you know, sometimes people get so carried away in the here and now, and they forget that everything we do here is for one purpose only, what happens when you stand before Christ. Okay? And I remember so many years ago, I decided that I am going to try as much as possible to live for the day I stand before him. And now I have to give account. I tried here, I tried here, I tried there, and at least get some good mark. Amen? So that I don't have to be in the chirasha of heaven. As some people will be. You'll be there with people who are Muslims and they received Jesus at the last minute. Okiriza Yesu, enzikiriza Yesu, you. Then for you who has been in church for all these years, you're there bongaring with people like that. Chivinyo. And so anyway, so it says, whether good or bad, that is, each will be held responsible for his actions, for his purposes. Okay? Actions, purposes. Then goals. When you start out, like, what really is your goal? Because you see, that's one of the biggest problems. Because the reason there is a lot of division in the church is because people don't have the same goal. Everyone is pushing in different directions. That's why people get angry that you enter church and you seem to be. But now, if you know that there is a space that has to be filled in this place, if you fight somebody and they get lost, you are like a team which has a red card. And people get out because they entered expecting people to be pushing in the same direction, and they find everybody is playing on their own. And somehow, you cannot achieve a lot of success like that. So it says goals, then motives. Now, here is man. Motives. Motives. Now, people will always try to separate God from motives. But you will never separate God from motives. You can come and do something powerful, like give a testimony. Okay? And you're just bragging. And other people will not know, but God will know that that testimony wasn't given in a glorifying God way. You see, eh? Remember I told you when we had the cell group. And we are there broke, what? And, you know, haven't worked in a long time. We are doing very menial underemployment jobs. And then we start prayer requests. Then some chick says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have 3 job offers. Over one way, one way, one way. So I want the Lord to show me which direction. Now, that can be a prayer request. But it can also be something else. Only God will decide on that day. Amen? Because all of us, we are not really. Okay. Maybe also us, God will judge our jealousy. But somehow, now people are there. You're in a cell group with jobless people, eh? And you are bringing that prayer request. So people just turned and looked at her and said, okay. Also, as God is, will hear us one day. Praise the Lord. So we don't know who is to judge, whether our jealousy or our what? Our bragging. Anyhow, so motives. Then it also says this, the use or the misuse of his time. Now that's where, like so many people, 1 week starts and ends and you've done nothing. And as far as God is concerned, you have to give account for that time. Amen? Nothing. Nothing that you think builds you as a person, which is very important, or builds the kingdom. Because when you build yourself, you build the kingdom. Amen? You can't even say that this week, because I'm, let's say, on leave, let me go to the Maldives. You know that builds you, eh? So it builds the what? The kingdom. You know, some people think it has to be something that is work, work. No. Sometimes even just going and feeling nice and seeing a clear sunset and diving and swimming with dolphins. You know, somebody recently accused me that I don't know how to eat money. He said, you're a boa. He said, you're just here. Now, because they had seen somebody who had gone somewhere abroad and was doing powerful things. And they knew I have the ability to do it, but somehow I don't. Eh? So maybe also God will also judge me for what? For not building myself. Praise the Lord. Because I like, you can go to the Maldives. What are you waiting for? Eh? Now, you see, the interesting thing is, there are so many people who will do powerful things as long as they can't do them. Amen? Man, if I had money, I would go and do this. Next year, you'll have it. Let's see if you'll do it. You understand? Eh? Even ladies, if I was married, I would look after my husband. You won't get married. Let's see if you'll what? Let you do it. Because, you know, it's very easy to talk about things. Eh? I remember when I was in S6, and I would say, eh? Ah, man, in VAC, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. I ended up sleeping the whole VAC, eh? And just going and playing football. You know those things, eh? Like, it is so easy to aspire for something when you don't have the ability. But now what if you have it? Anyway, so it says, for the use or misuse of your time. Praise the Lord. Now you understand that, eh? Because we are living in a very, very important time. Very important time. Where we are currently, actually every day, every minute counts. Because the kingdom that God is building, which is going to supplant this other kingdom, is already being formed. And somewhere in the news, we've been seeing people, billionaires, somehow losing money. Let me tell you, eh? Every time money comes out of those people, it's coming somewhere here. Not here, but I mean in this kingdom. Because there is no where the money goes. Amen? Somebody has to have it. It does not go to heaven or to hell for that matter. It has to be where? So if this one doesn't have it, somebody is going to have it. Amen? So when we talk of wealth transfer, and the time actually for it is now, the idea of use or misuse of time, very, very important. Aligning every one of your purposes to the purpose of God and the kingdom. And sometimes you need somebody above you to tell you what the purpose is. This is what we are doing. Amen? Now we are praying for the nation. And you actually put your effort in that purpose. And, you know, you contribute. Then it also says, not just misuse of time. It says miss or misuse of opportunities. Of opportunities. Now, this is the biggest thing. Everybody who nations because they didn't take advantage of the opportunities they have. I can tell you that. Like, God will always give people opportunities. Always. I remember, and I've got to say this, but I don't want you to be angry with me. Eh? But even if you are, there's nothing you do. Eh? I remember some time ago, some lady in the church was telling me about another lady who was fairly advanced in age, at least in marriage terms. Marriageable, but on the brink, you know, eh? Extra time, you know that, injury time. And so she said, you know, she's very unfortunate. she hasn't had anybody propose. I said, that is a lie. She said, are you sure? What? I said, you go and find out. There is nobody. No one. Like, the person who put the institution will make sure somebody comes for you. I'm telling you the truth. So she went and tried finding out. She actually took my challenge. So she went and tried to find out. Then she found out there was a guy who benched her for 3 years. But he didn't have a job. And he was broke. So he gave up at some stage and found another lady. As soon as he found the other lady, he got a very good job. You're not going to subject God to your standards. That means I want somebody who works where, over where. The thing is, the opportunities are always there. God makes sure they are there. Amen? It doesn't matter what, like, he's the one who put up that institution. So then she came and told me that was even the only one. There is another one. But you see, because she has decided this is the one I want, and she kulemeras on somebody, yet it's not God's plan. And you see, let me tell you, like, God's plan is God's. Like, I wish people knew that you have to trust. Like, if you trust God in that area, like, you're looking on the top. God is looking on the bottom. Amen? Now, when he's, like, he says somebody for you, he has looked at everything, even the things you never look at. E.g. You people are very, very sivategeira. No, honestly, sivategeira. PG, eh? Anyway, praise the Lord. He says, opportunities. So you're there, and you've spanned all your opportunities. Even, let me tell you, opportunities for jobs, opportunities for business. Everybody has them. That's what the scripture says. You read, what's that? Ecclesiastes 9:11. Again, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong, and neither is bread to the wise, nor riches to those of intelligence and understanding, nor favor to men of ability. But time and opportunity, you go back to New Kings, it says time and chance, but time and chance happen to all of them. Everyone has a time when they are supposed to come up and arise, and an opportunity for them to do it. Everybody. You find people who are nashing, it's because they missed their time or they missed the opportunity. But in most cases, it's possible they missed both of them. Amen? Like, there is a time to take the bus. And you miss the bus at that time, you are going to nash for a long period of time. And happens, for instance, there is a time when, I've been telling people to get divine healing and get in control of divine healing and make sure that they are in control of it. Because we have to come out of that Babylon. We have to come out of medical Babylon. Amen? And also to teach your children to come out of medical Babylon, because it's much easier. But you see, children, they get sick and they want to romanticize sickness. Because that's when you're going to get them cartooned, over what? Then you're making them actually romanticize the devil. So tell them, sickness is bad. Don't, like, from childhood, and you instill it in them. Because now, and even in yourself. Now they were telling me of somebody who had a powerful testimony of divine healing. Because I told them to go and listen to Andrew Mark's healing messages and drink them. Because the plagues, because it says in that scripture, Revelations 18:4, we'll come back to time and chance. It says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, of Babylon, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. Plagues are going to be a major part of this thing, lest you partake of her plagues. And there are always plagues. Now you see, they started plagues. So now it says, come out of it. So that when they say there's another virus, another flu, and what, you are confident it cannot come near you. Amen? Now, you have to meditate yourself in that place. And go, no plague shall come nigh you, Psalms 91 and all that. Otherwise, you become vulnerable. And so easy for the devil to top over. Now, somebody was telling me of somebody who, like, went and listened to those messages. Then they got sick. And then the person spoke the scripture, believed, until the sickness went. And then you're so happy. And now that's what happens. Because after that, you are not vulnerable. And now you see, there will be a test. And the test might not be the best thing, but it brings you into a good place where now you are confident of certain things. Now you say, come out of Babylon. We've talked about coming out of financial Babylon. You have to come out of the plagues of Babylon. Anyway, let's go back to the what? To the Ecclesiastes 9:11. It says, but time and chance happen to everybody. It says, you cannot say you won or you did not win the race because you're slow. It says here, the race is not won by the swift. So you cannot give slow, weakness, lack of wisdom, understanding. No, in other words, regardless of whether the person has all those things or not, their time will come. And the people who actually wind up on top are there because they understood the time and they got the opportunity and took it. Now, somebody came to me one day and told me that he was working in a certain place and it was good. Yeah, you know, I like the job and so on and what. Then another opportunity came. And he came and asked me, but I like this job, but there's this one. And in my mind, I was saying, this is an opportunity for you to actually advance yourself very much. Now, whether you take it or not is up to you. So I told him, first go and pray. I was here. I told him, go and pray in tongues. And because I say I don't want telling people things, because it seems to be taking you down, but it's actually taking you what? Up. So, and I don't want to make, and you know, spiritually lazy people want decisions to be made for them. Eh? They come and tell you, there's this guy. Then there's this guy. Then I look at you and I'm like, man. Bingu atira kuwa. No, because honestly, honestly, you're the one who is going to be with the guy. Not me. Praise the Lord. Ask me spiritual things. Now, do you know why? First of all, number one, regardless of what you will say, they will still go with what they want. I tried that long time ago and I realized it's wasting time. Advising a girl on to go with wasting time. She will end up with what? The one she had already decided all along. And now she's asking you there, hoping that you say the other one. You see, so it's a waste of time. So I don't waste now. I'll say, okay, which one do you like? That okay, this one is this, or the other one is the other. I just say, man, let's just, because, like, there is no value going to be added here. Now, spiritually lazy people who come and say that, should I partner here or my partner where? I tell them, partner where? Like, until you get to a point where, like, basic decisions you also want to come and inquire. Anyway, but because I'm a nice guy, so you tell them, pray about it, what? And, like, the answer is right there, but they will not take it. Okay, even if you tell them, they want you to be responsible for their decision-making. And even God will not be responsible for your decision-making. He will guide you, do it. But at the end of the day, you're the one who has to make your own decisions. Amen? Now you see, let me tell you, marriage has issues. So imagine you tell somebody, I think the other one is, even if you're right, the first quarrel they have, they say, I should have gone with the other one, but you're the one who messed me up. So you go and mess yourself up. And at least you won't blame anybody. Because, man, spiritually lazy. Spiritually what? Lazy. Now, let me read one more scripture here. Mark 8:33. Start from verse 30. But you know the story. Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. Verse 31. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Now, I want you to know, go to the Amplified, we see. I don't know why today I'm liking Amplified. Okay. But turning around with his back to Peter and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for your mind is not set on God's will or his values and purposes, but on what pleases man." Now, I want you to know that when you're considering purpose, what makes Peter Satan suddenly is his motive, that you're not mindful of the things of God. Because now Jesus is looking at him and he has told him, "I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again." But Peter only hears dying. Okay? He does not hear the other part of rising again. And then Peter must have been thinking about his thing. Katia, I mean, you called us from fishing. You brought us here to follow you. We have been moving all over the place with you. Now you're telling us you're going to die. For to less out here. You see, that must have been going through his mind. So now when you die, where does that leave us? So now, suddenly he becomes Satan. So do you know how to become Satan? When people are pursuing a purpose of God, you come and bring in your personal purposes. Then you become what? Okay, of course it's a figure of speech. You're not going to become what? But then this is the top disciple Jesus was calling Satan. This was the top apostle who Jesus was calling what? But you see, like, there are people who can never mind anything else apart from themselves. Whom to marry? Who I want a wife? Who I want? Like, try to tie it in into the kingdom of God. And they will never. And if only they knew that when you decide to pursue the purposes of God, you will have a lot more left to, like, have your dreamest life. You understand? When you're not even thinking about it. But your mind is on the purposes and plans and pursuits of God. Now, that's the one thing that turns Peter away from being. You know what happens before this? Blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. But now suddenly, from that thing, he's trying to have a different purpose. And of course, Jesus is rebuking him because he knew that was a Jewish. The Jews believed that the Messiah comes, becomes a king on earth, and yeah, he rules on the earth. That's what they thought. And all the way even after you remember even the road to Emmaus? They said, "Now the guy has died. We thought he's the one who was going to save us." They still thought that the Messiah, because of course the scripture says in the Old Testament that he will occupy the seat of David. Okay? So they were thinking about the seat of David in the flesh, because David is the one who rescued Israel from their enemies round about. So they believed he was the Messiah. Thank you very much. Now the next thing, you're supposed to become king. And they had tried that before, even when in John chapter 6, when he fed them with loaves, he said they wanted to carry him and go and take him and make him king. Because they had all that in mind. So every time a Jew would believe a Messiah, they would think he's going to become king. That's why the Pharisees were very confident when he died that now he cannot be the Messiah. Because they thought if he's the Messiah, he has to go and what? And be king. Now, this is the thinking Peter was bringing. But then he's bringing it from his own point of view. And behind that, there is an element of, so you're going to die. So what about us? Are we supposed to go back fishing? Are we supposed to what? Where does this leave us? And now Jesus rebukes him. Now, when we are doing these things, and sometimes pursuing things, everything you pursue, you have to fit it within what you believe is the plans and purposes of God. Because the time for us, the church just being, you know, moving around like that, it ended. Remember, there was a man who was so powerful in the years when I'd just become born again. And he rocked this city like nobody I've ever seen. Like, he rocked the city. A man called Apostle Deo Balabiku. So then he died. At the peak of his powers, he died. But I remember the first time I was in Imbale when I heard that he had died. And the first thing that I knew, is because I knew that there was another American man from somewhere, Akron, Ohio, called Ernest Angeli. He was a very controversial man, and there were things which you would just know he was controversial. Because the first time that Ernest Angeli came to Uganda, he came and said that many believers are speaking tongues of the devil. And I'd just gotten born again and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. The guy rocked my confidence. Every time I would be speaking in tongues, I would just see the devil. Okay, not see him, but I would be wondering, but is this real? So, but that time, there was a fellowship of pastors. Because his crusade had been so big and many believers had gone, so all the pastors sat and said, every one of you on Sunday, go and tell the people that you cannot be born again and speak in tongues of the devil any more than a witch can speak in the tongues of the Holy Spirit. So your tongues are not of the devil. It was very, very, very comforting because it scared. You know, it took me almost 6 months to a year to get confident back speaking in tongues because of that man. Anyhow, and he had so many other controversial things he would do. Like, I can't get into the depth of his doctrine and all that. But then, that time when Bala Yekubo was fighting the war of AIDS can be healed, and he had, of course, his testimony, and he was doing a very powerful job in that area. Then this honest angel came and approached him and said, we've also had people who had AIDS who got healed. Now, Bala Yekubo, because his special apostleship was strictly about breaking the back of AIDS, you know, first of all, mentally. Because at the time, before he started saying that, people would die just out of fear. Once you go and test, people would just die out of fear. Before even anything, somebody just like deteriorates in a matter of a few weeks and months and dies. Yet actually even maybe the thing has not done anything. I remember there was one place where they used to test for it, in Bowman House, somewhere in Parliamentary Avenue, somewhere in the floor down. So we were required to go and test for it for some reason. So I went there, and there was a line of people like this. Man, I've never seen such fear. Like, I've never seen such fear. Everybody was, I saw a woman there, I saw her. Of course, I was very young. So, like, unless it was airborne, there is no way I was going to be having it. Eh? Okay, that's a joke, eh? I'd done my manyanga, but anyway, but I'm joking, eh? I'm joking. I'm a holy what? A holy man. So anyhow, so I saw the fear in people's faces. And they would even not. Then you go inside, then they take your blood, then they say, come back this day. Now all the people who are there are waiting to find out if they are going to die or if they are going to be alive. That's how terrible. It was a terrible. Now, some of you are too young. You don't know what it was. Now, when Bala Yekubo came and he said God sent him, he was in America and God sent him, told him that AIDS is sitting on the throne in Uganda. Go and dethrone it. Because it was bigger than God. So, anyhow, when this man came and said that, he also sees people. And you remember, first of all, even saying it, people were like, who do you think you are? What? Until he started having big testimonies. But even then, there was a lot of resistance. But so Ernest Angeli comes and gets in contact with Bala Yekubo, says, also, as we have AIDS, what? So now they were preparing a crusade in Jinja. But the first time I heard it, I said that Apostle Bala Yekubo was the most trusted person in the church in Uganda. Anything he said, the whole church believed. All pastors, everybody. He had such authority that he would push the church in whichever direction he wanted. People trusted him. He was, of course, he was a very powerful person, personality and what. And he's a person whom I knew practicing things of authority, which people didn't even know. Because I remember, like, he did a crusade, which almost lasted a year there at that Muslim grounds at Queen's Way. And it would be packed every day for almost, definitely over 6 months. But then, people in KCCA would want to come and stop it. So there was some guy who was a Muslim. He came, said, half an hour. Said, brought him a letter and said, we are stopping the crusade. Bala Yekubo went to KCC, not KCCA, KCC, and said, Ania wandi se baruwe, no? Nkugobi. I'm telling you, in 3 days, the man, something happened and they fired him. He did it to three people who were trying to stop this crusade. Said, Nkugobi. And they would get fired. So, now when they would see him coming, they would run. And then they would say, I see Naganangova. But then now, his mixing with Ernest Angeli was a big problem for the church because Ernest Angeli was controversial. And the whole church was going to go down that path. because of Valerie Kubo and because of how we trusted him. Everybody trusted him. And I knew that guy was controversial. I used to see him on TV. And there are things he would do and say. And I said, this guy. But he had some miracles. But I was not sure about him. So when I saw Valerie Kubo joining with him, I said, is this right? So now I knew. Somehow I knew why he died. Because sometimes if you are at that level of authority, a single mistake causes you to die. You are like Moses. God tells you to speak to the rock, you hit it. And that is complete. You try to even plead, he says no. Because you've come to a level where you are seeing him face to face. Like, now there, the room for error is not there. You see, any mistake, you die. So that's why it's better to be carnal, like Roger here. So that you can live longer. I'm joking. but that was the level. Now, for him, that guy to be taken away, like if he was taking the church down the wrong path, then he was 38. Still young, still had ability to do a lot of things. But anyhow, the reason I talked about Valerie Kubo is this. Prophet Elvis told me he met him there. And so he asked him that what's the difference between the church in your time and the church in our time? And he told him that in our, now that is apostle, telling him in our time, we would just do things and we didn't know what they were adding. I mean, we didn't know the whole picture. We didn't have the whole picture, what they were adding up to. So somebody is doing this, the other. I'd say now in your time, the whole picture is coming out clearly. Now everybody who is doing anything should know how it fits into the whole picture of the grand scheme of God. Whereas in years past, even the greatest men of God, they would just be sent to do something and they do it and they don't know how it fits in. But now God has revealed to us what his plan is. If you do not know it, then you have no business being here. And you know what his plan is in this end time and you're supposed to, everything you're supposed to do. By the way, including even marriage. You see, some people don't understand. Do you remember the story of how they got a wife for Isaac? Do you remember what the scripture says? After Abraham called his what? His servant. And made him to swear that you're not going to get a wife for my son from here. Go to our brethren and get for him a wife. Then they swore everything and even put his hand between the what? The thighs. That is a figure of speech. But actually what he did is he touched a certain place. That's the truth. It's the truth. Don't look at me. But now, Thomas's wife is looking at me. It is the truth. Those days, men would swear because they swear by their manhood. Like, if you don't do it, you lose what? That's the truth, by the way. That's in the culture. So don't get angry with me. But some of you are enjoying it more. Anyway, but Thomas's wife looked at me. Anyway. So, after that, but remember, you go to that scripture. Eliezer asked Abraham one question. That what if the girl refuses to come here? Should I take Isaac back to where he came from? Abraham says, don't do that. Like, whatsoever happens, don't do that. If the girl refuses, you have been released from this oath. You see, because he knew God had called him to occupy this land. And Isaac was supposed to be in this land. The destiny of God was in this land. Now, if you find somebody, like, so the girl says, I mean, I'm used to this place. I don't want to go there. And you see people even like that. God has called you with a destiny here. And then the girl says, I'm in Canada. Come and we'll be married here. And you go. What did he say? Please put your hand under my thigh. Okay. And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaanites, among whom I dwell. Okay? But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son. Go ahead. Then the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? Go ahead. But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. Okay? The Lord God of heaven, who took me from heaven, my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants, I will give this land will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. Go ahead. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back to that place. Now, marriage has to fit into the plan. Not the plan fit into what? Yeah. Because Abraham said, God brought me from there and brought me. I'm supposed to take control of it. And you take my son, who is the heir, back there because of a woman? He says, you're released from the oath if that happens. Praise the Lord. Now, if people only knew that everything has to fit in the purposes, even marriage, purpose, everything, then you would stop thinking of marriage as some special thing outside of God that is your kabanja. Like here, I am supposed to decide for myself. Who fooled you? Like, and if you only knew that there is nobody, especially who has called like you ladies for a powerful thing, in this end time, for whom God will not send a specific husband who is going to uplift you in that area. Amen? Who is going to compliment you. Praise the Lord. That also applies to the men. But you see, it's women who somehow, you know, they can be so frivolous. I remember one time when I was single, a long time ago. So there was this lady whom I was interested in. So I told her that, because I knew where I was heading. So I asked her that, but you know, like, I'm going to end up that time I wasn't a man of God, I was a journalist. I said, you know, I'm going to end up as a man of God. Are you willing to, be born again and what and what? Then she told me something. She said, omukazi tabeera na dini nga tanafumbirwa. I said, you're a fool. I cannot what? I cannot marry you. You're a beautiful fool. How can something as important as faith? So you see somebody who will become a Muslim if she gets a Muslim. You see, eh? That's a fool. Very beautiful, but a fool. So, Kakati, now if you're some of you, like, and there are people even who are in church like that. There's a girl whom I know. We used to go to, have night prayers together. They had some church there where I would go for night prayers, but I used not to attend it, but I would just go there to pray. And she was a worshiper, leading prayers, very powerful. Now she's a hajat. Like you find her with what? Fool. This one isn't beautiful, but a fool. Now, because really, so, and you see, that's why some guy told me that Barokore don't know how to indoctrinate. He said, but Barokore don't know how to indoctrinate. You don't know how to teach people real doctrine so that they know what they believe. Because there are people who are there, but they are a bit all over the place. They don't actually, they are not grounded in the doctrine of, you know, our faith. Okay? But there are religions which know how to indoctrinate, and yet they are indoctrinating you in lies. Have you ever seen the Seventh Day? Seventh Day, they will even come and say to Lokose and what, which, but after they have been in church for 5 years, you will say, National Sunday Law is coming. Then you know that what, the thing is still inside there. Like the root, getting out that Seventh Day root from them, and even Jehovah's Witness. It's easier to convert a Muslim. And he forgets his whatever, his all and what. But those guys, the thing remains inside there because they are indoctrinated properly. So even when he's in church, he says, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. But the minute you turn around and what? The Seventh Day, he'll give you the Watchtower magazine. Then you say, I thought we had moved on from that. Anyway, praise the Lord. I have finished.
That was The Watchman. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 752 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman. the king is coming.